Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? It's Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week, really cool singer of an awesome band. It is Luke Spiller from The Struts. Remember, we do this every single Wednesday and Saturday, two times a week, 9 p.m. Eastern time, gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. And if you like the show, you could have heard it 5 days ago. If you love The Struts, simply by subscribing at Gas Digital Network, you use the code SDR. You get 20% off and a 14-day free trial. And you get things like HD video, live chat, every episode we've ever done, and access to 22 other great shows. But here it is right now, the Luke Spiller of The Struts episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the host. It's beat, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art. You need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is The SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, one of my most active or most repeated co-hosts, James Madden. How are you, buddy? Back in your Philly Rape Room, as we just said off air. How you doing?
Philly Rape Room is definitely going to be an album title for somebody. Probably not me, but someone's getting it. Philly Rape Room is, or it's like a John Carpenter knockoff film. Let's just be real about
it. I like to call it the PRR for short, the Philly Rape Room.
PRR. Hey, everybody. It's good to be here. I think I'm a little scared that I'm sluggish. I did a show earlier, and I don't think I was good. I think I got bit by a tick, so I think Lyme disease kicked in. So let's go.
I hope so. And Shannon back producing, and now very excited for this. I'm going to tell you the story right off the bat. It is Luke Spiller from The Struts. Luke, I'm going to give you this intro, okay? We'll start with, I'm a rock and roll dude, even though I may not look one because I'm old now. You're young and good looking. I'm old, and that's just the fact of life. But I did a rock radio show for fucking 20 years, worked at all the big rock clubs in New York when I was young, like L'Amour and Limelight, and I was a DJ and promoter. I live and breathe rock as much as I can. Rarely do I get to say this where I feel like I dropped the fucking ball, and I'll explain what I mean. 5-6 years ago, one of my very good friends, Alan, who was a DJ with me at Limelight, sent me your first video back when it came out on the boat and the... I was like, these guys are the fucking coolest new rock band I've ever seen. Started getting into it. And I don't know if I had a slight old man comatose or what, but just kind of dropped following you guys. And I don't know why. Then it came down the pathway. Oh, we could bring you guys on the show this week. And I started listening to the new album, which we'll get into as well. Strange Days, that just came out a couple months ago. And I got mad at myself for dropping the ball on The Struts. That's how fucking good you guys are. It is so real rock and roll. And I never get mad at myself because Shannon will attest to this. I'm perfect. There is nothing wrong with me. But now there's a chink in the armor, so to speak, because I dropped my ball on the fucking Struts. So thank you for coming on the show, sir.
It's all right. Better late than never, I guess.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, by the way. So right off the bat, I'm going to say ridiculous story, but I don't fucking care. Why not? Obviously, you guys are like this young, good-looking rock and roll band. You are, I would say, kind of like a modern, you know, Rolling Stones vibe. You look like you could be, you know, swapped out with him back in the day from Mick Jagger. I think you said the name of the band came from because you were strutting around so much on stage. Someone said that to you, yeah, Struts would be a good name for the band. Cool, right? There is a girl I was dating. I'm no longer dating. And at one point, we were going to have a threesome with another chick. Really hot model chick.
Nice.
Knew she was a fan of you guys. Think that she might have been with one of you. I'm not exactly sure of the details. I actually texted her yesterday, but I haven't heard back to get the details. But it doesn't matter. I don't know exactly what happened. It's not my place to say. But our threesome did not happen. That girl and I stopped dating, but I reached out to her because I know she's a big fan of yours and maybe you or someone in the band she had sex with. I don't know. But I just said this. I'm going to see if you can see this on camera. I wrote up there, that's me. I'm about to interview Luke from the Struts. Now watch this. Can you see this?
Look at that novel.
That's her just talking about how much she, there's a picture of you from a video. I mean, look at, I ended up, it still goes. This is going on. I never responded once.
She's supposed to break Gatsby.
I ended up blocking her from the statement of just, I'm going to interview Luke from the Struts, is now I am no longer talking to her because my phone was just going, bring, 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 bring. I mean, it was for an hour and a half because of you.
Could you imagine if the threesome actually took place? I mean, I probably, my music would have been played.
And for sure.
Technically, I, in some respect, I would have been present. So I could have been involved.
Yeah, you and I would have been wiener cousins, maybe, if it's the right girl. I think the right band. I don't know who in the band she slept with, but it didn't happen. But in a way now, it's your fault that I will never speak to this girl again. That's another way to look at it.
Well, I'm sorry. You know,
real quick, right, so, I think Wiener Cousins is a great band name, and if there was ever going to be a band that had an album called Philly Rape Room, I think it would be the Wiener Cousins. I'm just putting it out there, everybody.
I think that's a good idea. Not bad. So the first album,
I think we played the Philly Rape Room probably back in the day.
I hear the owner pays very generously. That's just what I heard.
Well, he pays generously for you to keep your mouth shut. That's why. And then your second album, which I love, produced by Butch Walker, who may be the most talented, if not the one of the top music record or rock record producers. Forget about just rock, but all over the map. Just a phenomenally talented dude. He did my old radio show back in the day, back when he was in South Gang, which he doesn't like to talk about that part of his life. But great for two records from South Gang and Marvelous Three, all that stuff. But super talented dude. And then that leads us to today, which now a few months ago, the new album, Strange Days, which, Jesus Christ, dude, I've had it on repeat for a week now. It's that good of a record. I have to talk to you about it because I'm so impressed by it. The thing that I found most interesting that I'd like you to elaborate on is you basically trashed what you were going to record because you had a new album recorded and then said, fuck it, let's just write a whole new record because of what's going on. Can you kind of like get into that a little bit?
Well, yeah, you're correct. So towards the end of 2019, I hadn't officially moved to LA at that point, but myself and the guitar player Adam spent about 2 months through kind of October, November, a little bit of December, working on what would have been the follow-up to our second album. And it was going great. It was going great. It was very much business as usual, same kind of process that the previous two albums had gone through. And then all of a sudden, shortly after moving to LA in early January, which was quite funny because I didn't tell anyone that I was doing that. I think I'd told the rest of the band like about 2 weeks before I left. And then everyone followed suit pretty quickly after that.
And so the whole band is in LA now.
The story goes on. It carries on. So we all went out, and once again, it was like business as usual. And then the whispers of COVID-19 started to, you know, gather. And before we knew it, everything was being cancelled left, right, and center. So we were given this really unique opportunity where I had been working with a producer, someone who we'd worked with on the second record. It wasn't Butch Walker. It was someone else who was involved in Young and Dangerous. And he so happened to have like a bunch of free time on his hands, which doesn't really happen that often. And it was proposed, why don't we go into a studio for 10 days and camp out at the house? And our first thoughts were, let's create something. Let's do two or three songs, 10 days. You know, that's kind of more than enough time to do three, maybe four, just for the fans. So it was going to be very raw. And we really wanted to kind of sonically capture what we're known for, more or less doing live. So really energetic, loads of guitars, probably more guitars, and just a kind of different mix. And I don't know. It was very, very bizarre. We ended up going in there after being tested for COVID. Everything came back negative, set up camp. And within the first 4 or 5 days, we had about 6 songs, which were completely new. And then, yeah, it just kind of carried on. We had an amazing synergy. It just went from one thing to the next. And before we knew it, by like day 7, we were like, we had a whole fucking album.
That's really wild.
So we literally did 10 songs in the first 7 days. And then the last few days were spent, I was doing my vocal, Adam was playing more guitar. We were kind of like mixing around with overdubs, but the entire thing was done in 10 days. So it was crazy.
Well, that leads me to a couple of questions. The first question would be, before we get onto that record, what happened to the record you were going to record that you didn't record?
Well, it's still banked. It's on the shelf. And okay. To be honest, it's been a good thing. Everything happens for a reason. And
it's just ironically, one of the songs, James, on the record didn't get released was totally by coincidence. It's called I Don't Believe in Masks. So it's a good thing that they didn't release it.
Yeah. So the songs now are just kind of just staying there, and it's fine. And it's been good because I've lived with them for a little bit now, and some are stronger than others. And you don't always have that opportunity to sort of like write something and sit on it for 6 months or 7 months or however long. So it's actually been very good because now I'm thinking like, out of all of the things we've done, there's probably a small handful of things that have really stood the test of time. And I think the rest we could probably beat or sort of do better, if you will. So they're still there. The songs are still there. And
they're how recorded are those songs?
They're what we would sort of call in Strut's world. They're kind of like in their showable demo format.
Okay, so fair enough.
It's the drums haven't been tracked and the bass hasn't been tracked, but the vocals are all done. The arrangement to a degree is like all done and the guitar done. But, you know, we just got sort of MIDI drums just sit there with the keyboard like. Bah, bah, bah,
bah, bah, all right, cool. So now a couple other questions. I wanted, because there's a lot of questions about the album as well, but just a couple other COVID-y questions. So you move into January, you're in LA, and then as we all found out, the world is over, you know, everything gets canceled. And when you're a guy in a hot rock band that's probably booked out till, I'm going to guess, end of summer by that point, I could be wrong, but I would imagine by January, you know, your schedule. Was there a gig or two, because you've gone out with so many fucking great bands, was there a couple of gigs or festivals that are the ones that really hurt that got canceled? Like, God damn it, we were going to tour with blah, 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 and now that's not happening.
There were rumors, like there always are. There was talks of, you know, doing maybe a couple of shows with like Aerosmith, and AC/DC at one point was flying around. What really hurt the most was that year, 2020, was meant to be us really capitalizing on all of the hard work that we had done previously.
Right.
So we spent pretty much a whole year on and off with the Foo Fighters, which was fantastic. And we were meant to be sort of like really going out there and doing more headline shows than we ever had, and doing bigger venues and really making a lot of money as well.
Right, so right. It would have been nice.
That hurt the most. Missing out the green hurt the most.
Because you guys have been so like road dogs for 5 years of constantly going out and going on either supporting tours or solo tours or, you know, constantly touring, that I would imagine maybe that's why this album was such a kick-ass record, is that you had a moment to take a breath and sit and really work with it. And then on the second side of this, which I'm guessing is true, giving your voice a break for so long maybe allowed you to do things you normally wouldn't do. I don't know if that's true or not, but it just seems like the break of being able to be self-reflective. I mean, for me, it's been great. I'm not a singer, but I lost I think it's 25 pounds already. I've been like really eating healthy and feeling better. Some people went the other direction, but maybe you guys took the direction of let's really massage these songs and get them to where we want them to be. Or at least that time off gave you that ability, even though it happened in 10 days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I honestly, I think it was just one of those beautiful things that just came out of being purely spontaneous.
Right.
The last two records, the first one, it's like the old age saying, like our whole lives we had to make that. The yeah. second one was done in between like arduous like touring. We would be on the road for 9 weeks and then we would have 2 weeks off, which was spent in the studio. We mm-hmm. never really had time to recuperate. And right. and this was just like a very happy accident. And the process in which it was done was so refreshing. And I think the Struts have never been that band to get into a group, get into a room and flush songs out as a band. We just never worked like that. Like the foundations of this group have always been built on myself and Adam working with various producers, working up the songs, and then the other half of the band comes in and we apply what they do, and then we kind of figure out how we're going to do it live. We've never once built from the ground up with all four of us in a room the old-fashioned way.
Right, so the way it used to be done.
Knowing that was going to happen,
right,
gave us so much, it was so much excitement in the air. I just think that created this synergy and this creative explosion that, gosh, I'm not even quite sure we'd ever be able to recreate. But I'm
but
glad
we just cause another pandemic in a few years and we should be fine.
She's giving away all my secrets now.
All right, before we go any further, if you are over 21 and you're a fan of the show, it is time to stock up on some top shelf CBD flower. Of course you're ready to do that. Of course, if you're a fan of the show, you know all of us, including myself, who normally doesn't delve into this stuff, are big fans of CBD. And if you want to smoke it like you would your regular weed but not want to get high, you just want that good feeling of what CBD does, which helps you relax, helps you get into a better emotional state. There's so many documents and peer-reviewed papers on how CBD is supposedly does wonders for you, and you can get the benefits of it by smoking it directly from Hempire Direct. Hempire, like Empire with an H, Hempire Direct, where you can get an eighth of high-quality CBD bud for just $20 or a quarter for $30. Incredible pricing. Some great ones like Grape Ape, Blue Dream, Sour Runts. You know, I know Jay's a big fan of it these days. I just recently got into smoking the CBD. I'm not, you know, I'm a puss. What can I tell you? I was using the tincture for a while. But smoking it, it seems to be just also, if you're someone who smokes all the time, maybe it just makes it easier for you because you're used to that phallic wiener in your mouth. You get it. Go to HempireDirect.com, use the code GASFLOWER, G-A-S FLOWER, and you get 50% off your first order, which is crazy. 50, not 15, 50, 50% off, which means an eighth of the top shelf CBD is just $10 or a full quarter for 15. That's half price. It's crazy. I would say the logical thing to do is this: you're probably going to like it, so why buy one thing? Maybe buy a couple things because it's half off that first order. Use the code GASFLOWER, and not only are you going to be getting great quality CBD, you're helping the show out, you're helping the network out, and you're helping yourself out. HempireDirect.com. The code is GASFLOWER. And also, there's a link in our description if you're driving or doing something where you can't write it down. You can just click the link under the description when you have time. And let's get back into the show right now, shall we? So what I think is unique, although you have done collaborations before, to have four, I think there's four on this record, if I'm not mistaken, right? And yeah. The interesting thing, and again, I always feel free to shit on me if I'm wrong, because I'm very often wrong, right? The different tracks that feature, like there's one with Joe Elliott and Phil Collin of Def Leppard. I listed that my favorite thing is Joe Elliott calling himself King of the Leopards, which I don't know where that came from. And that voicemail was, I'm assuming, a genuine voicemail. It sounded real. It didn't sound like he was acting. And you probably just played it and put it into the record. And Robbie Williams, Tom Morello from Rage, and Albert Hammond from The Strokes. Those tracks feel very much influenced by those people, if you know what I'm saying. Like the Def Leppard one sounds like an arena rock song. Right. Mm-hmm. The Tom Morello song, when that first guitar line comes in, it almost sounds like a rage. If the Stones and Rage kind of, you know, whatever, but it felt ragey. And the Albert Hammond one definitely felt Strokesy. Right. So I don't know if you had started those songs originally and then they put their flavor on it. Or did you write those tracks and think, oh, it would be cool if we can get Tom Morello to do this or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
So basically what happened about, there was a period of time which was about 2 to 3 weeks before going into the studio where it was all planned, etc. And I was working on lyrics and working on different ideas that we could start from. And I already sort of thought there's no rules for like what we're going to do. No one's breathing down our neck. No one's thinking strategy or any of this kind of stuff or radio. And instead of throwing the kitchen sink here in terms of the album, I thought, why don't we just throw the entire fucking bathroom at the album and kind of just do what we want and experiment. So I knew before coming in that Robbie Williams was up for singing something.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been talking and working with Tom Morello that year. So I knew that if I would call him, he'd want to do something. And Albert, I've been in touch with for a while. And the guys in Def Leppard, I mean, have been such big fans for years now. So I knew in the back of my head, I was like, if we get it right, we could get all of these crazy people. And there was other things that were meant to happen, which didn't.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Were there any collabs you went after where they couldn't do it?
Yeah, so there was a track called Burn It Down. Mm-hmm. And so we took Greta Van Fleet out on their very first tour. So the very first kind of couple of shows that they were really doing as a group were on one of our tours for our second album.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, like we saw them have this amazing rise to a very quick rise to success. And we've always kind of been cool and stayed in touch. And we did some shows with them in Australia. And Burn It Down was a little bit later on in the process. And I just thought this really kind of like screams something that they would probably enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of got that like Exile on Main Street, Stones vibe. There's a little bit of, it's kind of bluesy, bit of Zeppelin in there. And mm-hmm. It was going to happen. And then it kind of just got the plug pulled out of it last kind of minute, which was a bit of a shame.
Oh, that's too bad. Those bastards.
Well, I won't hold it against them too much, you know, because to be honest, I think, you know, we were on the verge of having like a complete collaborative album, which.
Oh, wow.
I think looking back, that might have been a mistake. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's very easy to, I mean, I've read fucking reviews and seen videos and sort of middle-aged men talk about this album, for instance, and how we lent on Tom Morello and Def Leppard and all this kind of stuff. But little do they know is the songs were written and recorded and done. And then I took them to the respected artists and then they just kind of played with already what we had recorded. So it's, I think we were on the right side of a thin line of just doing too much. If that
right, I got you. It's also, by the way, which is nice, that the Def Leppard guys from, I mean, I know them ancillarily over the years. I wouldn't say we're friendly, but I've interviewed them a bunch of times. I know stories about them a bunch of times. They're super supportive of rock and roll. They just want to see bands make it, which is amazing. You know, we had Brian Wheat from Tesla on not that long ago. And he talked about how throughout their whole career, they were like the guys they would call when they didn't know how to do something. You call the fucking Joe Elliott and he'll tell you what to do. And that's just a great thing that they are like the godfathers for anyone that's trying to do straight up rock and roll, which is awesome. The second thing I have that I don't understand 100% is you said, instead of throw the kitchen sink at it, let's throw the whole bathroom. Is your kitchen sink in your bathroom? Because what kind of fucked up house do you have?
That's why they need the money this year, Ralph. That's why they need it for, goddammit.
I was pretty high when I constructed my house, you see.
Oh, so, I got you. Fair enough. And also, by the way, I know Robbie Williams. Like, I know who he is. I know his name. I know of him. But watching that video initially, it legitimately looked like someone's grandfather walked on stage. You're like, what's that guy doing? And it's like, oh, no, it's Robbie Williams. But as soon as I heard his voice, I'm like, oh, I recognize the voice. But that's just kind of like, I guess it just, that was the guy that you had already established you were going to bring him in at some capacity. And Strange Days, which is the title track, is the one song, at least that it seems, is kind of a nod to what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, definitely. There was, I had, in what typically normally happens is sometimes I can go away and I kind of tend to write things quite musical theater-esque. And mm-hmm. Strange Days was very like, oh, these are strange days. It was very like super camp.
I almost saw your top hat there going out like this. Yeah,
it was very jazz hats, right? Because I was just like, I didn't give a fuck at the time. And I was just kind of doing my thing. But the lyric was there. So it just goes to show that as a writer, like nothing's done in vain. You can do something in jazz hands and you can take it apart and dissect it and say, well, the jazz hands don't exactly work, but these lyrics really work. And you're right. I wanted to make something that was going to be a social commentary on what we were beginning to experience, because this album was created right at the very beginning. This was done like in March.
Wow.
Kind of April in 2020, when Los Angeles was kind of thinking like, is it worth shutting down for? Like, nah, we don't know. And boom, and all of a sudden it did. And who would have thought that it's like, I'm in the UK now and we've just gone into like the third national lockdown. So, you know, so it's
does that mean you move back to UK or you're just here now because of what's going on?
So what happened was, I mean, funny enough, it all kind of ties back with Robbie. So the album was done and we then handed it in to the labels. Everyone was really thrilled. Everyone really loved it. And then I started doing all the promotion and whatnot. And we had this great, unique opportunity to fly back to the United Kingdom to do what is called Soccer Aid, which is a charity football or soccer game, where a bunch of kind of celebrities raise money for charity. And we were going to be the halftime show. And it's in Old Trafford Stadium, which is like a legendary football stadium, which is where Man United normally play. It's their home ground. And so it was a very big deal and it was televised. And we'd never had any radio play in the UK up to that point. We never really had like a prime TV slot. But the problem was, is our visas had run out at that point. And we told if we stayed in America, it would just roll over as long as we don't leave the country. So we were given the opportunity. And then all of a sudden we had to make the decision, okay, we're going to have to leave all of the sort of homes that we'd built up for ourselves. Everything. I mean, some of the guys got fucking dogs at that point. So we had to basically take a bit of a gamble, come back to the UK, do the show.
Kill the dogs.
Put them down respectively. And then we ended up kind of getting stranded here.
But that's fine. So now you're stuck, you can't get back, because you're right now the borders are pretty locked up for the most part, I imagine, right? I don't even know,
but it was worth it, because from that, and you know, Robbie being so gracious with his time and stuff, we managed for the first time ever to be played in our home country on the radio. So
all thanks to Grandpa.
All thanks to Daddy Williams, yeah.
And also, congrats. It's the highest charting record in England you guys put out of the three. Oh. It's by far the highest charting one.
Yeah, it's the only one that's really charted in England.
I mean, so, top 20. I think it's number 11, I think is what I saw. So I mean, the others were there, but a little lower down. But it's still, that's pretty great. It's pretty, that's,
I know,
pretty cool.
We were like, do you know how many fucking albums we were from a top 10 album? I think it was something ridiculous, like 200.
Oh,
like,
Jesus. You should have went out and bought them, for God's sake.
I know. I should have just cashed it in. But it's even worse when you know how many you missed out on.
Do they tell you that figure? Oh, you see your number and you see the number of 10?
Yeah, so
how fucking shitty is that?
Yeah, you get all these emails about three times a week leading up to the chart position. You're kind of like, fuck, we started really well. We started at like number 3 at the beginning of the week, and then all of these people midweek that were coming in were very big names, and we were just kind of, it was tough. But, you know, fuck it. It's great. I'm not complaining.
Fair enough. So now, the other thing I noticed that you guys have done, which I think some bands are doing this well and some bands are not, and I would say kudos to you guys for really doing it well, which is embracing social media during this time and figuring out a way to connect to fans in maybe ways that normally you wouldn't do. Like, you guys were doing the Sunday service episodes for a while, which stopped a while ago. I assumed maybe it stopped when you came back to UK. I don't know. You were doing it for a while, but just using social media effectively during this time, who was the person that is the catalyst for that? Is that you? Who's coming to the table with, let's figure out how to connect to the fans?
It was definitely a collective at the beginning. And it's funny because we, like everyone, we thought this would have died down like 6 months once LA had gone into lockdown. So we were like, okay, let's stay in touch with everyone. We have got a bunch of cool footage. We could be creative with this. So yeah, I was doing like interviews and everything on Instagram live and stuff, which was really fun and quite insightful and interesting. And I guess more recently though, we've kind of let it slide because, I mean, we only put the album out in November, and I think we really want to release something new in the first quarter of this year. So
another new record or a new single from the record?
At least a new single, something
completely that's not on the record.
That's not on the record.
No. Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty ballsy. Maybe something from the record that didn't get recorded.
No. Oh, yes. You're right. It is. Huh. It'll be something that was done in 2019.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So that's a little bit of a foreshadowing there from Luke that something new's coming around the corner. Was there a thought at one point, because the record was recorded in March, obviously come July, August, September, it's like, oh, this is not ending anytime soon. Hmm. Because everyone loved the record, to say maybe we should wait till next year because then we could tour on it, or it's going to whatever. And you just, or was there the thought, let's just get this to the people?
We wanted to get it out as soon as possible. I remember flying to Hawaii to escape.
Excuse me.
And I was on the phone going through the mixes with the producer, and I was like, we got to hurry up. I mean, like, we need to do this now. Like, we need to give everyone this record now because it's really speaking about what's going on. And I think it's so important. And I get why a lot of groups have delayed the release of their records, but not everyone has done a record which talks about the pandemic. So it only makes sense for us to put it out while it was happening. So I just don't think anyone realized it was going to go on for this long. Yeah.
I mean, I think
otherwise
world...
we would have done 20 days and we would have made like a double album, and then we could have released it, you know, in two halves or something.
And the scary thing is, at this point, who the fuck knows when this is ending? I remember saying in March of last year, well, if this goes on past July, we are going to be fucked. And now it's way past July. And by the way, James did the hand up. I've got a question moment. Go, James.
Well, first of all, everyone thought because of the vaccine, it'd be over. And then like last week, everyone freaked out because they're like, we won't have herd immunity till 2022. So we're at the whiskey dick portion, basically, of COVID. We're just going to keep shoving along and hopefully we can gain momentum or take a nap and wake up and it's better. My dude, you're young and vibrant, a rock star. You probably haven't had that problem yet. But on a comeback album, it's going to catch up to you. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah, when you're touring on the 25th anniversary of the first record, is when you'll get the reference. You'll go back and go, oh yeah, James was right.
I'm also worried about your dogs. So the brilliant idea in the future.
Well, James, he didn't really kill the dogs. I was joking.
Well, no, I'm sure they're alive. But what I would do, I'd take them with me, put them on the soccer pitch, the football pitch, in George Best uniforms. Fuck yeah. Everyone's happy. Everyone's happy wearing Georgie Best jerseys and living it up.
By the way, I don't get sports references. Yeah. So I'm assuming that meant something to somebody.
I knew the minute I went into Georgie Best that I would lose you, and you'd look at me like I'm doing some QAnon thing,
but
right there.
My gut instincts is that Luke didn't give a shit about it either, but I could be wrong.
He knows Old Trafford. I mean, he brought about it. Manchester United. Come on, guys.
I just like the way you called him Georgie Best.
Well, because they're good friends. They're very close with each other.
I had a second family in Vegas that was from Ireland, and I would be drinking at Paddy's Pub at 17, and these old guys would put me like in headlocks. Man, let me tell you about Georgie Best. No one ever called him George Best. So
Georgie, the old Georgester? You talking about Georgie?
Good old George. Ralph, when I come back to New York, we're going to watch a soccer match. You, me, and a pint of Guinness. You're going to change
your
life.
I'm going to vomit. I couldn't make it through it. 30 seconds of that, my friend. I'm sorry. It doesn't interest me at all. Let me ask you this, Luke, in an interest of full disclosure, all young, good-looking dudes, are you all single or not single? And if you are single, is it just raining sniz?
I'm the only single one in the band.
Oh, go fuck yourself. The lead singer is a single one. I'm sorry.
Also known as the only smart one, apparently. There you go, Bubba's.
I mean, based on what this girl texted me, I mean, that's just one random chick in New York.
Who's this girl? What's her name?
I don't want to say her name on air. Shannon, if I say the name, can you bleep it at this point?
Yeah.
All right. So just make a note here. The name, she's a model from New York City. Her name is very tall, thin model chick. Does that sound familiar at all? No. Okay,
I
fair enough.
I wouldn't remember, honestly.
I mean, why would you remember? First of all, you probably have had sex with more girls during COVID than I have in my lifetime.
It's been a very, very good couple of years.
It has. You're good looking. You can sing. You're in a cool band. Go fuck yourself is number four on that list. And it's, you know, first, let me ask you this. This is a real question.
Okay.
I see you guys doing what you do, right? And it's just this cool nod to old school rock and roll, but modernized and all feel like a good symmetry. Why do you think that doesn't happen more often? Why is it so rare to find a band like you guys?
I think because maybe it's out of fear. I think after being in this group for some time, the pattern that I kind of see is people kind of just like really overanalyzing it. You know, the words derivative and unoriginal and I mean, gosh, just me as a person. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I don't think I've sat and like kind of read an interview or a review about myself or the group where I haven't been compared to sort of like five or six different people. And even with songs, it's always like, who is this guy trying to channel? Is it this person or that person?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have thick skin, that can kind of be, it can affect you. So I think,
Let me interrupt you. Why though, when that every rock band is inspired by another rock band, like that's the reason you become get into rock and roll is because somebody inspired you. So why is it a bad thing to be compared to rock royalty?
I think it's just because people love validation, and more than anything, they want to be sort of recognized as being like an individual.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, going back to the question, I think a lot of it has to do with taste. And for what it's worth, I have a very specific musical taste that definitely I want to emulate to a degree, probably more than other people, but it's just the way I am.
I don't see why it's bad. Like, it just to me, if anything, seeing like you mentioned Greta Van Fleet, when in the beginning everybody just said a Led Zeppelin knockoff, right? That's what they were. But I mean, they're saying that you're knocking off one of the greatest bands of all time and doing a good job at it. Why is that a bad thing? I don't, you know, everybody precursor to somebody else, each band, just make it a little bit of your own. If your whole career was built on doing Queen covers or Stones covers, then I would get it. Yeah, sure. But I don't know. I just feel like I'd love to see more bands like you, because it makes anything that feels like just straight up rock and roll with no pretense, no rap, no digital, whatever. It just is a rock band. And obviously, it based on my text messages, also resonates with hot chicks.
I mean, I think as well, with a band like us, it's very, not to blow my own trumpet, because I have plenty of people who do that for me, but like the setup of like a front man is something that not a lot of people are kind of comfortable doing. And it's not, I think within the industry and the music scene, especially when we first started out, it couldn't be further away from quote being cool. to have someone like me looking the way that I do, sounding the way that I do, and acting the way that I do, like clap, getting people to clap their hands, you know, was sort of like you don't do that, you know, at that moment, like about 8 years ago, especially in the UK, it was very shoegazing. So you've got to have like a good pair of balls to kind of do what we do, I think, and mean it. And we definitely mean it.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing. And I, again, not to bring them up again and shit on them. I'm not shitting on them because I do enjoy their music. Greta Van Fleet never felt authentic to me. I liked the album. I liked the music, but I didn't feel like they really believed what they were putting out, if that makes any sense. One look at you guys and it felt authentic.
Well, I mean, I honestly, I mean, just after knowing them for a few years now, I think they have such a great future ahead of them.
Yeah, I think they're super talented for sure.
You know what I mean? Like they're great, great musicians. I mean, they're not, we're very different bands. It's quite funny. We always get put in the same sentences a lot of the time for reasons that I think are kind of obvious. But in terms of bands, we're very, very, very different.
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
So I think it's going to be cool to kind of like watch them like unravel and like people have seen us unravel and find maybe a little bit more of themselves and project that even more, you know?
Right. I agree. And by the way, in watching your stuff, since I've been doing my Luke Spiller deep dive, I really enjoyed the cover set acoustic songs that I saw with Jesse from Eagles of Death Metal. Brown Eyed Girl and Wicked Game. That shit was awesome. What I enjoyed so much more, which I would love, look, what the fuck do I know? But I like when you hear a band do a cover they would never expect. So hearing you do, I don't know what is it, like an acoustic EP or something, but doing an acoustic version of Hotline Bling by Drake, that was fucking cool as shit. Like that was, you don't expect that, where I kind of expect you doing Wicked Game or Brown Eyed Girls. It was great. But picking a out of left field song and making it your own is just so cool. I fucking loved it.
Well, I like Drake a lot. I like Drake a lot, and I've always been into rap music, urban music, whatever you know. We kind of want to label it under. I think it's good, man. Like I get sick of rock and roll sometimes, and it's those days where I'll just put something on that helps me see things from a different perspective.
I think anyone who truly is musical should let other styles and other genres influence them. Is it true that when you were a kid, you were obsessed with Michael Jackson and you wanted to be a dancer, or is that not true?
Absolutely true. In fact, I wanted to do ballet. That was like my...
Could we pull the camera back and maybe you could do a pirouette or some sort of... Oh, that's pretty good.
Wow.
That was my goal and my dream. And yeah, I mean, looking back, I would have been able to do it, but for personal reasons, it never kind of panned out like that. But it was my first introduction to the art of kind of like performing. So I kind of went backwards. I learned how to look good when singing. Like I mimed for years and years and years. Like I never thought about singing. I would just dance and pretend to sing in front of the mirror.
Oh, welcome to the club.
Yeah. And I didn't really open my mouth properly and start, you know, using my voice until in my mid-teens, I think. Really?
Well, that's pretty wild. Did you not even realize maybe you could sing? Like you never even knew what you sounded like? Is that what you mean? Or
I mean, I did this one performance, which was like a complete life-changing moment where I was in this school production of a musical and I played like a pharaoh who is kind of like an Elvis Presley character. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like gave it my own interpretation, you know. I injected a bit more of a Mick Jagger kind of like character to it, and I was probably about 8-9 years old, And I sang the song and I gave it all the jive in and I had this standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was halfway through the performance. So it wasn't even at the end.
How old were you?
Like 8 or 9.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
And then everyone was stood up and like clapping like, wow. And I thought, yeah, this is all right. I like this.
That's awesome. Okay, so now just to go back to the thing that you leaked a little bit, you're thinking it's very possible that even though this album Strange Age just came out, great record, I really the one that sticks out, but not only Def Leppard track, but Wild Child with Tom Morello, it's just a fucking great song, right? You're thinking that there will be some new Struts material before spring? Is that possible?
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, absolutely. I can confirm. I might get a slap on the wrist now because of this, by the way.
Fair enough. Well, we'll send this to the trades tomorrow and maybe we'll sell those extra 200 records and make you into top 10. All right, Jenna, before we get ready for the first, James, I feel like I've been shutting you down the whole time. Do you have any other questions? I know you were super excited to talk to this dude.
First of all, every guest that when I'm talking to just makes me feel like the laziest person during quarantine. Everyone's like, I've released an album, which we wrote in 2 days to talk about the world. And I have another one coming out. And I'm like, I'm on my second Mountain Dew. Like, that's like I feel like a failure, but it's inspiring. I also, man, the look of hair that you got, brother, it's just with this that I have, I've never been more jealous. I feel like you're hiding my biological father in there. It's amazing.
I'm gonna take this off after the interview.
So. Oh my God. And real quick, I've always asked this. I know this is gonna sound like a dumb American. Do British folk realize how good their accents are, or do you guys all want to sound like you're from fucking Alabama? Like I just hear your accent. I'm like, I've done okay for a shy kid, to quote Morrissey, someone with a shyness that is criminally vulgar. But man, if I had your accent, the numbers, the stats would be padded.
You could fake the accent if you had to, right? You could teach yourself.
That shit. They'd see through it. I got to be authentic like the Struts. Another thing, there's no way to fake being the Struts. If that's your band name, that's fucking coming from here. Let's just be real about that.
Do you realize that when you speak, Americans are immediately charmed, or I'm sure you're well aware?
I'd heard rumors after watching Love Actually. Obviously, when he goes to America and you know, he's like a very average looking guy. And then all of a sudden he's like bedding like 8 girls at the same time.
Oh, by the way, Shannon, make a mental note. Luke Spiller, rom-com fan. Okay, just good to know.
I watch that movie every Christmas.
Of course you do, Shannon. Shannon, of course you do.
Well, yeah, I mean, upon coming to America, I definitely realized it was a weapon that should be used in the right way.
You get bored of just having sex with so many women that you try to create new experiences. Like, let's see if I can do 8 women at a time, or let's bring in a dude, or let's see if we can have some big black guy watch me while I do this. Are you trying to make some spice to it?
Or give yourself a handicap? Like you sound like you are from Muscle Shoals. Like, hey, y'all, I'm in a cool band from England. I don't know why I talk like this. Just to see if you can still do it. Like you're Houdini and you're putting chains on yourself with the straitjacket in the water.
And you tell people I'm in a band called the Schmucks and you just see what happens.
No, I mean, I don't have time for that. I'd rather just go with what I know and enjoy myself the way that I do in, on a regular basis, you know.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I get it. I get it. I mean, believe me, I get it. Shannon's already been sliding off her chair 3 times during this interview from your fucking voice, you piece of shit.
Between your voice and thinking about Love Actually, I mean, this is Christmas again for Shannon.
Yeah, and he's an animal lover too. He talks about the dogs and shit. I mean, come on now.
Killing the dogs.
I'm not actually a dog lover. I'm actually a cat enthusiast.
By the way, speaking of dog lover, that would really spice up your love life if you start throwing some animals in.
Bestiality. Oh my God. That's how I don't think a lot of good has come out of bestiality. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Wait a minute. You have to think about it. That implies that maybe is that I don't think a lot of good has come out of bestiality. There's been a couple of good things, but not a lot.
And sir, you clearly have not been to Muscle Shoals, Mississippi.
I'm pretty sure COVID-19 was probably a result of bestiality.
Oh, wow. Hot
yeah,
take.
I mean, well, maybe that could be. Yeah, not a, they say that's where AIDS came from, right? Someone had sex with a monkey, right? Isn't that right?
Apparently so.
That's not true, Shannon?
I don't think so.
I think your mic's unplugged again, Shannon.
I can't. I don't know.
It's back.
I think that it like came from contact. I don't know that it's necessarily sex, but in South Park, that is what they say. That
yeah,
because
I get all my news from South Park, by the way. That's why I base it on South Park.
Me too. Me too. Remember what happened in China?
All right, let's hit the first, Shannon.
The first time ever I saw concert Detroit's had sex.
All right, the name of the show, as you know, Luke, is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. We ask every guest since the dawn of time their first experience with all three. And we start with rock and roll. But what we mean is the first concert you went to on your own, a show you went to, but we're going to know the band. Like, it's not just someone like your mom took you to or some local idiots that we don't know, but a band we're going to know. Who was that first band you went to go see? And it doesn't have to be rock. It could be Michael Jackson, although I don't think he was alive when you were concert age, but who knows?
He was, but he wasn't touring. The first gig that, well, I actually never made the show. I attempted to go and I ended up in hospital. And so it was a band called Electric Six from Detroit.
And, I don't know.
They were doing a show at our sort of like local city. And yeah, I was set to go. I was probably about just turning 16. Mm-hmm. And it was very cold. I think it was about January sort of time. And I spent all of my lunch money buying vodka. So I didn't eat for the whole day. And then we were kind of what you guys would call pre-gaming.
Okay.
Before the show and straight after school. And and I also got a bag of weed as well that day. And yeah, we started drinking, made our way to the show. My friends kind of tapped out. I carried on going because I was just ready for a good time. And all I had on was this silver cape that I'd made with my sewing machine. A bare-chested pair of pink flares and a silver cape.
Oh, totally my God.
Devotion.
And then I rolled this big joint that I wanted to have before going into the concert.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being, I don't remember any of this. My friend relayed the story to me and I didn't have a lighter and a homeless man came up to me in the queue, saw the joint hanging out my mouth and was like, can I have some? I said, yeah, have you got a lighter? So I'm smoking this joint with this homeless guy and then my mate's chatting to some bird and then he turns around and I'm disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking for me and I was in an alleyway round the corner behind some bins just throwing up and then I just passed out and then they tried to resuscitate me, like get me back to consciousness, and that went on for about an hour and then the ambulance came and
Jesus
and yeah they said I could have died of hypothermia if I'd been left out there for like another 45 minutes or something because I just had nothing on in the middle of like January. Wow. In England. And
so I mean, did you get to keep the cape or you threw up on the cape?
I had the cape. I threw up on the cape. And all I remember is I woke up in hospital, like really stereotypical. I woke up and I saw like those industrial hospital lights. And my dad was sat next to me. And it was like 9 o'clock at night. It wasn't even that.
Oh, late. Man.
Oh.
And the first thing I said was, did I miss Electric Six? And he was like, yes.
Yes, son, you idiot. You missed it. That's great.
Good time.
All right, now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed was not the first drug you ever did.
No, yeah, weed was definitely the first.
So then the one after that, whatever the next drug was.
It probably would have been coke.
Was it in the same alleyway with the same homeless man, or was there a better story?
No. I mean, I don't know where you live, but the homeless people where I come from can't afford.
I have very upper class homeless people around my neighborhood.
Yeah, right. Yeah. it would have been that. And I remember it was, this is how long ago it was. I was probably about 17 and it was being passed around on a VCR player.
Okay.
Wow.
That seems very clumsy and uncomfortable.
But so we were, you know, just passing it around and I rode back home that night on my chopper bike. And, I just remember I was in bed and I had a vinyl player next to my bed and I stayed up all night listening to Queen, just staring at the ceiling.
I also like how you really want to give a nod to an 80s drug by passing a VCR around. Like, let's make sure everyone knows this is an 80s drug. I don't want anyone to be confused.
Yeah.
Would have been more 80s if they had a Betamax? Would that have been real?
My dad had a Betamax. He's the only one I knew that had a Betamax because Betamax died. They died pretty quickly. VHS really took over. Crazy. So now the first time you had sex.
So I was a good boy like when I was younger, and I actually lost my virginity at 16.
16 is lower than the average number here is 17. So 16's, you know, when we ask people, almost always at 17 or it's shockingly young. One guy was like, how old was he, Shannon? Nine?
He's like eight. Yeah.
Eight. Yeah. That was kind of weird. Yeah. It was straight out pedophilia. He had said, and he didn't, he seemed very enthusiastic about it.
He did. He very much so.
Who was it again, Shannon? It was
Shannon Larkin.
Shannon Larkin from Godsmack. Yeah, he was very proud of his 8-year-old pedophilic experience. But so, how you were 16?
Yeah, and so I was in. It was very sweet actually. Like the girl I was with, we were both total virgins, and we were very much in love. And I was in a school band, like this kind of like rock and roll kind of like outfit, and we'd done like what was at that point like a huge show. I think there would have been about a good solid 35 people in the audience. I was just, you know, living and running high on life, and we threw like a big kind of after party around my best mate, who was the drummer in the band, in his back garden. We had like all these tents and everything, and it was lovely.
It wasn't a pre-planned thing. It was a, hey, I just saw you kill it on that high school stage thing.
Pretty much. It wasn't planned. It wasn't like, okay, we're going to do this and this and this. It was like beautiful.
That's how I do it, by the way, nowadays. When a girl comes over, I give a chart. We're going to do this, then this, then this.
Yeah, you have like time slots.
Yeah, for sure. And then this is the one when I started asking this recently, thanks to Gilby Clark. The term he coined was his first rock star sex. And what he meant by that, which I guess almost this one could fall in that category, was the first time he had sex, clearly because he was who he was. He remembered that moment, you know, when someone, a girl was waiting in the dressing room, and he goes, well, I guess this is happening. And that, and then when we had Brian Weed from Tesla on, he remembered the exact moment that was the first time. Oh, it's because I'm in a band.
I mean, There's been quite, I can't remember. I mean, one of the ones that kind of stick out like in my mind, I mean, there was things that happened like way before that, because this group's been going on for quite a while.
Yeah, like 7 or 8 years at least, right? Yeah. Maybe more.
Yeah,
right?
Like I've known the guitar player for like 10 years, right, and we've been working with each other for like a decade. But I think one of the real kind of turning points was I was in like a long-term relationship, and then that sadly, like, you know, ended
very sadly, wink, wink, you know,
what it was. And so I was kind of very new and single. And what I didn't realize is that there'd been, lo and behold, I had no idea, because you don't when you're in a relationship. There was a lot of kind of girls who their ears pricked up when they found out I was single. So I had quite a few people kind of like reach out, like
kind of like how Shannon did 20 minutes ago when you said you were single, that kind of.
So I went, and I think the reason why it's more fitting for the question is because it happened like at the Rainbow Bar and Grill in LA.
Oh, that's great.
So I was there and we were all like having a really good time. This bird like really wanted to meet me. So I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Like she was really sweet and really nice. And we were like drinking and chatting, and I was loading the jukebox up with money and listening to music. And it's a good time at the Rainbow. It's a good vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, this girl was like in an, oh, I shouldn't say this really, but she wasn't single. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
So I didn't really think much of it. And as a few hours go by, you know, her eyes kind of changed, and I could sort of like sense there was definitely something happening. And I was stood there at the bar, and then bang, like we just started snogging, and it was like heated petting, like, you know, like almost like two people hadn't seen each other for like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And then we ended up just going away, and then the sex started in the Uber drive from the rainbow back to the house. I mean, I don't want to know what the guy was thinking and who was driving us, but he was silent. And there wasn't even the radio on. And
God.
There was a lot of flesh, exposed flesh in the car.
I hope you gave him a 5-star on the Uber, for God's sakes.
I did. I hope he gave me a 5-star. but yeah, that was a good time.
That's great. Time. Well, I'll tell you this, dude. I mean, although I'm 5 years late to the party or 6 years late to the party, you really do have a new fan in me. I've been Struts exclusive for the last couple of days and mad at myself that I haven't delved into your band earlier. I think, was it last year or the year before? I don't even know if the show happened because I get confused in the years. COVID brain. Did you play The Rooftop in South Street Seaport, New York City, 2 years ago? It's called R17. You did play it.
Yeah, Pier 17.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing that you guys were on the list then, and I didn't get to the show because I wasn't a fan at the point. But I'm a fan now, so you should play there again. That's what I'm going to say.
We will. I love that gig. That was great.
That's a great place. I saw Papa Roach there. A couple of years ago, it was such a great venue. I mean, when venues will open up again, who the fuck knows? But it's great. Anyway, the new album Strange Days is out now. Any other plugs you want to give before we wrap this up?
I mean, just thanking all the fans for being so patient. You know, I can confirm that we do have things on the horizon for all you lovely lot, and thank you guys for having me. It's been very nice. I've really enjoyed it.
Look at the tender sweet side of Luke. Okay, James, anything you want to plug, sir?
Yeah, man, check out my Instagram, The James Mattern. You all have to listen to my podcast. It's number 2 in the nation behind SDR. It's called The Commissioner of Comedy. It is about the etiquette, the journey, the passion for stand-up comedy and for life. I guarantee you listen to it, you will almost be as productive as my boy Luke. You might not have 2 albums during a pandemic, but you'll get at least a half. You'll get an EP.
At least a few songs.
Yeah, and you might even bump some Hollywoods off of Betamax. Just respect to him. So The Commissioner of Comedy. And within the next, 2 months, I don't know when this airs, my new album will be out. It's either going to be called Check Spot or Eating Checks. It's me doing comedy during the worst part of the show. I'm doing a question and answer while people are paying their fucking bills.
Oh,
and it's
that's the
mayhem.
Worst spot, right?
So
the,
check
the
that
check
shit out.
The check spot is the worst spot, right? Every comic hates the check spot.
Not when you get that royalties in a year. Woo!
All right, Shannon, your plug, Shannon.
So maybe the 3rd or 4th show in the nation is my podcast. Oh. The thing is,
dang, one in my heart, baby. You're number 1 in my heart, Angel.
Thank you. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982.
I like your flower dress blouse thing, whatever you're wearing, Shannon.
Thank you.
It looks very proper. It makes you look very dignified.
Thanks.
Shannon, I want to be on your show. Your show as well sounds right up my alley.
I'd love to have you on.
Luke, do you believe in ghosts?
I believe, and I know that I don't know everything.
I like that answer. All right, so Shannon, follow him on Instagram and reach out and get him on the show.
I will.
I'd like that. Okay, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other show, the health and wellness show that I do with the founder of Juice Press, is called Good Sugar. My book that I put out this year, The 100% Guaranteed Guide to Weight Loss and Fitness, that hit top 100 in Amazon. Thank you, everyone that bought that. And Luke, can't say enough good things, man. I want to be your penis for a day. That's all I could say. I would really like to be your penis for a day. If that's possible, let's talk about it when you get into New York City. How about this? Can we just go out somewhere and the girls you say no to that you break their heart, I'm like, yeah, that fucking asshole, right? And I'll try and take them home. As my Struts runoff, I'll take the 3rds or 4ths. I imagine you're going to
have no shame, do you?
No, I'll take the 6ths or 7ths. I don't care. I imagine you need a few to stock up the bar, so to speak. All right. We'll do one of those. Let's do the Def Leppard one, which is called, come on, Ralphie. It's called Fuck Me in the Face. Now I look like I'm unplanned. What's the name of the one?
I hate how much I want you.
Hey, how much I want you. That's what it is. I really enjoy it. It's very much an arena rock song, big chorus, and you get to hear Joe Elliott call himself the king of the leopards. We add it to our playlist, the SDRshow.com/playlist. And Luke, honestly, thank you so much, man. Super cool dude. Glad I got to get you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
All right, we'll see you next week on the SDR Show. Peace.
Listening to the SDR Show.